All right, we're back with part three and the final part of our interview with Dr. Andrea Davis of the Greenhouse Therapy Center in California about strategy A10, self-reflection, in the book Floor Time Strategies to Promote Development in Children and Teens, a User's Guide to the DIR Model. So we've been discussing my own practice. I did the worksheet in the book, Strategy A10, Take a Reflective Stance Towards Yourself in Interactions. And I feel a sneeze coming on. But we're at the part of the worksheet, which you can link to on the blog, which was, what did I learn about myself? So shall we jump into this?
Yes. You were just, in the last portion, really thinking about your goals for this session, and I wanted to respond also to one of them where you said you realized early on in becoming a floor time parent that your natural tendency was to lead almost all the interactions by being a teacher and helping him think about this or that, and that you watched yourself both in the moment of playing with him and trying not to lead every interaction, but trying to make space for him to be the thinker and him to be the initiator. And I thought you did an amazing job at that. I felt like you were supporting him, supporting his ideation, supporting his initiation, also supporting his understanding by just clarifying things that he was saying, by narrating what he was saying and doing so he could understand both what he himself was trying to do and that you understood what he was trying to do. So I actually thought it was both. 180 degrees in the opposite direction. I didn't see you as leading and training and teaching him. He had these ideas and you were finding them fascinating and fun as best you could, even though it's maybe repetitive, so that he could become the engineer of the fun and the engineer of the interaction, which is so hard for some of our kids who are on the spectrum to do. They get taught all day long and sometimes all evening long to follow others' instructions and to just comply, 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 when compliance is the only goal that anybody has as their top concern, then this never gets developed, this ability to say, oh, what, this imaginative, what could be fun? What could we do next? What would be a new twist on what we just built together in our fun time together? And that's the core of having a friendship. We want our kids to have friends. We have to be a friend.
Right. Well, that's great to hear. Thank you for that. Because, yeah, certainly I'm always feeling like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing floor time right. I don't know if, you want to refrain from narrating everything. You don't want to just repeat everything he says back. You want to get in the interaction too. So good to hear that I was on the right track there. And I'm sure certainly room for improvement too, like all of us. And that's where this next piece comes in, I guess, the what did I learn about myself? And here's where the psychologist in Dr. Davis will come out and help me figure this stuff out. So I definitely learned how much my mind wanders off to my to-do list. So just like my son is a constant mover and shaker and he's constantly moving and he doesn't sit still and he's this and that, that's how I am. I never take a break. I'm doing the dishes and then I'm doing the laundry and then I'm doing my blog and then I'm checking this and then I'm going to email and then I'm running to the store to do groceries. And you know, my husband just shakes his head because he's the opposite. He's very relaxed and calm. And he's like, do you ever sit still? Do you ever take a break? Can you please come and give me a hug? And, oh, I'm in the middle of doing this. I'm in the middle of doing this. So it's funny to see, you know, reflecting, like I learned that I get very distracted. I'm thinking about everything that has to be done. And Oh, I forgot to put that laundry over there. I forgot to do this. Oh, I still have to get this, or I still have to do this. Everything's going through my head the whole time. So that's something I learned about myself. Do you want to talk about that, or should I mention the other one first?
Let's talk about that. I think that's so helpful to see you doing this, to see you thinking about yourself. And I think you're making the point of how DIR is a family adventure. And when you automatically expanded from just not just thinking about yourself in a particular floor time session, but your whole day, and not just this relationship with maybe a child with special needs in the family, but with your other relationships. Like here, with you mentioned your husband, it just naturally expands to who am I and why am I the way I am, and how does it impact me in every relationship? We've had parents say, you know, floor time has helped me in my relationships with all my children, or it helped me in my work relationships, because it is about who we are and that growth-oriented approach to, oh, I'm realizing something every time I sit down and journal about this. So that is beautiful. I mean, that could be the start of something different in the way you think about your time with your whole family.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I have never been a person to embrace journaling. I see it as a nuisance, like, oh, I got to sit down and fill out this form. I got to sit here and think about this. Like, ugh. So I thank you, too, for inspiring me to actually do this, because it's not something I would naturally do either. And to be honest, it really wasn't that hard. Like, I thought it might be a thorn in my side to get through it. But it's really just, like you said, not sitting there and being judgmental, but just being curious, like, oh, you know, what did I want to do? And not having to think that it has to be right and it has to be this formal something or other. Like, no, just think in layman's terms. If you're just talking to somebody, what did you want to do in this session? And what seemed to work? And what did I want to do for myself? And what seemed to work?
Yeah, and what did I learn?
Mm-hmm.
The things that we learn, this is how we actually have our therapist write session notes, because we want them to be thinking this way. I believe, from my own experience of writing notes, you know, when you're charting about your work, it can be busy work that takes a lot of your time and wastes a lot of your time, or it can be growth promoting. And so I firmly believe that we want this experience of sitting and thinking about a session to be growth promoting for staff. And I believe that what we discover is the hardest thing to hang on to in the future, because we just got there. We just barely got to this new discovery, and it's the fastest thing to escape us. So that's the one I always want people to capture on paper and maybe have a chance to go back and peek at, because you'll have these aha moments again and again. We have to learn things at a deeper and deeper level, the same thing,
mm-hmm.
over and over about ourselves, in new and newer contexts. So that's why I want to capture it on paper. What did I learn about myself?
Great. Okay. And then the second thing, and you know, I think there's probably more, but I learned that I feel a little bit irritated when I have to spend time making a new tunnel or bridge for my son, just for him to knock it down, and he hasn't even finished knocking it down yet, and he's like, Mama, make a new tunnel. Mama, make a new bridge. And so I feel irritated is too strong of a word, because
yeah.
I just adore my son and I love being
yeah.
with him, but it's like, okay, I'm going to take, you know, however many seconds or minutes or whatever, just for it all to be knocked down, and then we're doing it again. And I think, let me guess, you're going to say something like, that's focusing more on the task.
Mm-hmm.
And instead I can think, well, if I'm irritated by it, don't think about that. Think about the interaction with my son more.
Yeah. I have a couple of thoughts about it. Cause you have it as a question for me later, but, just going back to what you learned about yourself, being brave and honest with yourself to say, hey, this is not my favorite part of my day with my son. I enjoy other things that may be more stimulating, more surprising, less repetitive, and I feel maybe a little discouraged when I have to repeat the same thing with him over and over, and I think a lot of parents do. One of our staff psychologists says, if you're not a little bit bored when you're playing with a child, there's probably something going wrong there, because they do need to repeat in order to learn and master things. It's the way that they play is searching for mastery. So, but he also wants to repeat the pleasure of that. And there may be ways to make it feel better, but I'm more interested in the self-reflection piece today, which is, of course, to say, so if you feel just a little discouraged, maybe when it's time to just repeat and repeat with in this particular game, I would say to them, the next step is in your journaling, why do I think that is? Why might that be?
Why might that be?
What is it about myself, my history, this context, my past? It might make me a little prone to being discouraged to have to build it all up again every couple minutes.
The first thing that pops in my head is that I'm a person who likes to finish projects and do lots of things. So I start something, I finish it, and I'm accomplished, and it's done, and I'm moving on to something else.
Beautiful.
So I don't know if that relates. I don't know if that relates to it. Or...
You had to go into a different part of your brain that looked across history and that to understand yourself, like how did I feel in the moment and how did that relate to my whole history and my history of knowing myself and understanding myself, but you took it another level. And so that's increasing your mentalization. And parents' mentalization is crucial for their growth-promoting interactions in supporting a warm, secure attachment with their child. And I just got to watch you do that on Skype. It's, like, thrilling.
Just so the listeners know, we did not discuss this in advance. We're doing this on the fly.
Yeah. This is you've never said this. You've never done that before. You've never been asked to take it one step further, but that's what we want to do with our kids all the time is go for more, take it one step further. We want to challenge them just at the right level for to take this game one step further or this idea one step further, or in this case, self-reflection one step further. So I think it was beautiful to think, oh, I'm this kind of person. I like to get things done and accomplished and off of my list, because you just told us in the first one, I have a to-do list in my mind, and it's very important to me to get things done. And I know you to be very ambitious. Not everybody's trying to do all the things that you try to do in a day. So to have to repeat and repeat and repeat makes sense. What you just said, that you would like to get some things accomplished and finished and maybe off the list.
Yeah, and I think about, my husband is so good at building train tracks. So we don't have one train track set up that just stays. Like every day or week, there's some new, huge, elaborate setup of tracks. And I tell him he should have been an engineer, because how did he come up with the ideas? Like, he can visualize these track configurations. And it takes him, a good number of minutes to set it up. And, when my son's tired or whatever, phew, all the tracks just get trashed. And, I would not have the patience to do that all again. And, sometimes he doesn't either. He says, oh, no more tracks today. We'll do it tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, it's, just from my background in psychology, we could go much, much, much deeper as to why I'm the way I am and all of that. But we will save that for this. But having to go back and continue to do stuff that isn't accomplishing some goal, I guess, is not something I'm comfortable with for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And so then I think you started to hint at this, but if you thought of it, what would happen if you thought of the goal as one of the strategies of sharing pleasure? One of the core strategies, if the goal here is not building the tunnel, but sharing pleasure.
I like that a lot, because you said something that really stood out for me that applies across situations with my son, which is he wants to repeat that experience of pleasure. So he's getting pleasure from the pillows collapsing down behind the between the couch and the window. You know, it's resting as a bridge. He's putting his weight on it, collapsing it down, and saying, "Mama, do it again." And that process is so much fun for him when he's falling and collapsing and watching my reaction or whatever it is that he's getting out of that. He wants to repeat that again. So, of course, most parents, if you know, things are working right, we want to see our children happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good reframing for me to think, oh, he's having so much fun. Let's do it again and again and again.
He's having so much fun, not with a tunnel or a bridge. He's having so much fun in this relationship because
yes.
It's a responsive, attuned moment for us. And he wants to repeat that. It's like when you're thrilled with your romance and you want to kiss again and again and again because you're sharing pleasure together. Because that's a moment that connects you.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it like that.
And I guess I should clarify what I just said, because we don't want to keep doing it again and again and again and again, because we do want to keep challenging my son to move on to new activities and add an element. And that's what I tried to do when I tried to do the avalanche, like knocking the pillows onto the couch. And he was like, "No," right back to capacity one, right? Dysregulated. Mm-hmm. "No, I don't want that." So, you know, it's not that we're trying to do the same thing over and over again. I don't want to focus on that, but I want to focus on the fact that my son is getting a lot of pleasure out of this interaction, regardless if I'm repeating something or not.
We are sharing pleasure.
Sharing pleasure. Okay.
Yes. He could get a lot of pleasure out of sitting him down with an iPad game.
Yes.
But we are sharing. We are getting pleasure from seeing the other one enjoying the moment together.
Yes. Because it's not as fun for him. If we just say, "Go downstairs and do your collapse game," and he's just sitting there by himself, he's not having as much fun. I mean, I know this because if, you know, I'm trailing behind putting stuff away. We just came in the house from the car and putting stuff away. He's like, "Mama, come do collapse game. Mama, come." See,
and that's the core of floor time.
Mm-hmm.
Having the shift from self, you know, being self-absorbed to being relating, as Dr. Greenspan said, ideally relating 100% of the time.
Yes.
Wanting and desiring to be connected together and to share pleasure and to share thoughts, to have joint attention and shared ideas. That's his desire now. He's motivated by that because of the floor time you've done with him. Even though you think you haven't done enough or you haven't done it right, it's not. It's just that what you said at the very beginning, having new eyes, having a new way of thinking about your time together has completely changed what you can do for him. So, yeah, we could take it further in another context in just sitting down together, not publicly, but privately saying, you know, well, why do you think that is? That you tend to be a person who really wants to get a lot done and a lot, you know, on your list, and why your mind might wander to the to-do list, why that's so important to you, those kinds of things. It can just go further and further and further each time we do this.
Mm-hmm. And I think you covered the last part of the worksheet is questions for the therapeutic team. So I was more thinking about, you know, helping my son move up the developmental ladder. Is there something I should do to influence how my son responds so abruptly with, "Mama, make a new tunnel," after he knocks the pillows down? And I think you answered that. You encouraged me to think more about sharing the pleasure with my son as an experience, as opposed to, oh, I have to pick these pillows up again, and I just did it, now I have to do it again. Thinking
There's
more.
There's another thought I had about it, too, is that we always, one of the strategies from the manual is build upward. We start with the foundational capacities and build upward. So as long as he's engaged and he's regulated, we can start to build on that reciprocity with him using more of the affect mirroring and narrating his affect. So he says, "Mama, make a new tunnel." I would stop for a moment and try to share that excitement with him. Like I would show with my facial expression, the affect on my face, that I get it, that So he can feel felt.
Okay.
That would show that, that is exciting, even the thought of mama making a new tunnel. So
mm-hmm.
I would show that on my face, the anticipatory excitement that he's feeling. I want to mirror his emotions so he can understand that we're sharing those emotions together. And I'd say, you want mama to make a new tunnel. And see if he can just, that's pushing him a little bit too. Let's kind of stick with the idea of, yeah, and that's exciting. And I think you're excited. You can't wait for me to build a new tunnel. And see if he can stay with that and then start building it. But you could also, one of the strategies for capacity, let me go back to my menu of strategies to see where we put this one, but using anticipation
mm-hmm.
is number, can't find it right now.
I should know this one because Dr. Gil Tippy has spent a lot of time talking to us about this one, building
okay.
up that anticipation with your child.
Right.
Yep.
Building anticipation with him so that,
I'm looking for it too.
We use anticipation to stretch out the interaction.
2.9.
Thank you.
The strategy 2.9. Use anticipation to increase the capacity for mutual attention on page 74.
Yes.
Yep.
There we go. So 2.3 was the share pleasure. 2.9 is use anticipation. So there you've got it in your hand, right, where he just can't wait, and his whole face and body are showing that, and you're showing that you understand it by mirroring it with him. Oh, we can't wait. And then you then do it with a lot of drama and maybe stretch it out, slow it down. So he's kind of following every move, and together you're stretching out the capacity to share the experience of it, the mutual attention to, oh, so you want me to build one? Should I build another? Here comes another. And he's just watching, and hopefully this is increasing his excitement, and you're sharing the excitement together. So that's a way of co-regulating upward. We often talk about down-regulating our kids when they're too upset, too aroused. But this is a way of co-regulating upward by sharing anticipation together. And then I think I would really start to challenge you to think more about the strategies in capacity four, because you said your goal for him, perfect goal, was to stretch out and have much more interactive social problem solving with him. So I call capacity four complex communication,
mm-hmm.
using gestures and words to solve problems together. So stretching out those interactions, certainly still not judging any of his attempts to communicate, but feigning him a little bit more ignorance now that you've got it, now that he's fully interested, he's got high communicative intent and attention. Now at this point only, do you want to start maybe making a little bit of blocking moves, feigning ignorance, like you don't know what he means by build it back up again, or playfully obstructing him, kind of introducing a problem that together you guys have to solve in the building of the tunnel. You may lose him for a moment. He may get frustrated and kind of self-absorbed again for a moment, but you keep little by little every day, just titrating in just a little bit of challenge here at capacity four.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that so many times from the therapists that we work with, so it's a good reminder because I don't do that enough, you're right. And Dr. Tippy told us that, you know, 2 years ago or something. And we do certainly do it. But, I could be doing it more. And the other thing you mentioned, stretching out and slowing down the interactions, that was the title of a blog a few blogs ago. So I can put a link to that on the site as well.
Good.
So, yeah, that's great. That's great. Thank you. So I think we've stretched the limits of our listeners' listening capacity. So we'll wrap it up now. Check out the blog on the website for the links to everything we've been discussing. And thank you so much, Dr. Davis, for joining us again. And we will look forward to going over, another strategy in the future for sure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.